Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the backyard. This is Margaret Marshall, your host, and we're here each Thursday at 8 o'clock where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. And this evening, as usual, I am very excited because I discovered someone new. We have had so many firsts for Jamaica, and tonight, through the dedicated work of Dr. Joy Lumsden, I will be sharing with you another little-known fact of a first. And I'm going to be reading directly from Dr. Lumsden's pages online. And for those of you who want the real story for yourself, you can go just Google Joy Lumsden. I think it's Joyous Jam is her website. And we are discussing Father Raphael tonight. And I'm going to be reading it to you as she wrote it. So actually, she had done some of this for History Month, I think in 2007. But the first page that she has says, Father Raphael, a priest of the Greek Orthodox Church, was a black Jamaican from Chapelton in Clarendon. Jamaican newspapers of the late 19th century contain an enormous amount of information on life in the island at that period. But very little research has been done on that time. Consequently, the researcher is continually coming across material about people and events little known to the present day. Recently, I came across articles about Robert, and I don't know how to pronounce this, but it's spelled Josias, which I suppose is Josias Morgan of Chapelton, who, after a very interesting life, had become Father Raphael, a priest of the Greek Orthodox Church. So far, I know no more of Father Raphael than is told in newspaper reports in the 1913. But there are clues to further information, which I hope to follow up. And then she says, on the same page, on this site, I will set out all the material I have found so far, and I hope to be able to add further information as I find it. I shall follow up some sources suggested by the material I have, but I shall be very grateful for anything that any visitor to the site can tell me. I will gladly acknowledge any contribution that are made to the site. So I made sure I read that because I want to tell you that Dr. Lumsden is always looking for material, of course, that can be verified so she can tweak or add to the people she have discovered, all from Jamaica. She's doing her research on Jamaicans that made a difference during periods that we didn't have this cool, all this informational tools that we have now. And this is my sidebar now, ladies and gentlemen, so you bear with me. So it brings me to the fact that how fortunate we are to be living in this period where, you know, information is at a fingertip. Well, people are using their fingers on their phones to get information instantly, as it happens in real time, any part of the world. They're tweeting, twittering, and, you know, you can see, hear, and almost feel the pulse of what's happening anywhere in the world. However, the period I grew up in, you know, when I was a teenager, I very rarely read the newspaper. That was for the adults to do. And we were mostly having fun. So there were a lot of things even happening during my time of growing up, which would be the 40s and 50s and early 60s, that I didn't have a clue was happening all over the island because I wasn't an ardent fan of reading the newspaper. And we had at that time, I think, two publications, the Daily Gleaner and the Star. I don't remember any others. However, this, as Dr. Lumsden, as well as some other historians, one being Dr. Rebecca Tortello, has done a great job of bringing to life a lot of material that we, in my period, did not know about. So let me get back to this very interesting find, because I remember being so excited when we found out that we had a politician in the Soviet Union many moons ago. And that shows in the archives. I think it's Black on Red. He wrote a book. And I invite you to explore the archives and find out about all the wonderful people who made our culture what it is today or had some contribution to the development of not only things on the island but all over the world. So now I'm going to go to the next link on Dr. Lumsden's site, which is Background and Early Career. And it says here, Jamaican in Unique Position, and it's from the Jamaican Times of April 26, 1913. And the headline is, Only Negro Who is a Greek Priest. Jamaican Times Special. The African Times and Orient Review, February and March, contains an interesting biological note on the Reverend Father Raphael of the Greek Church and of the Order of the Cross of Golgotha. In the world, the father was known as Robert Morgan. And what is very interesting to us is that he was born in Jamaica. He is the only representative of the Negro race who is a priest in the Greek Church. He was born in this island more than 40 years ago. 6 months after his birth, his father died. He received his early training from his mother and was brought up among Church of England folk. In his teens, he left Jamaica and was educated at a grammar school in Sierra Leone and then at the famous Church of England College at Foray Bay. No, it doesn't say what country that is. That is my sidebar, folks. I'm going back to the article now. As a poor boy, he had to work to help himself through, and he was also assisted by friends. He traveled a great deal visiting Africa, Syria, Asia, the United States, England, and almost every country in Europe. He spent some years in Liberia as a missionary and then went to tour in the southern states of the United States. Desiring to take orders, he went to St. Aidan's, A-I-D-E-N-S, College, Birkenhead, and to King's College, London. He was ordained and went to the United States, where he worked under the American Episcopal Church. Later on, changing his view, he entered the Greek Church, and about 6 years ago was ordained a priest. He was detailed as a missionary to his fellow co-religionist among the colored people of the United States, and has worked there ever since. His headquarters are at Philadelphia, where he wishes to build a chapel for this purpose. He recently visited Europe to collect funds. It is interesting to note that he has some intentions of extending his work to the West Indies. So that's the end of that article on that page, ladies and gentlemen. So what we gather here is that this was an article written in the Jamaican papers about Father Raphael living in the United States. So that was one of the newspaper reports, and that's why she billed that, the first Gleaner report that she discovered. Now here's the second report, and incidentally, as usual for the Labrish fans, you know, if at any time you'd like to interact with me, just hit one on your telephone, and I would be glad to open up the mic and welcome you to the backyard, to the Labrish, because, you know, that's what a Labrish is. And for those who didn't yet take your virtual trip to Jamaica, please just settle in your favorite chair and take off and feel the trade winds blowing gently across your face. Now, for the regular fans, I am hoping that when you get to the backyard and tune in, you're just there already virtually, because our classical reggae opening would perhaps get you in the mood. So you are relaxed now and discovering all this wonderful information that we didn't know before. At least I didn't. And if any of the listeners heard about Dr. Raphael before, please let me know, because, you know, I am so excited. Anyway, second Gleaner report. I can just imagine how Dr. Lumsden feels when she stumbles on these things. Okay, so this report was from the Daily Gleaner. The first one was from a journal or something. Daily Gleaner of July 22nd, 1913. And that the headlines there says, Priest Visit, Father Raphael of Greek Orthodox Church, His Intensive Travels. The above is a picture, and there's a beautiful picture of him. It's, you know, of course, it's not as clear as, and if you're watching on the website, you should be able to see a little flash, and I did put the picture in one of the frames. So you should be seeing. It's obviously that he's from African parents, because, you know, in Jamaica, we're all mixed up, and sometimes you can tell that some people are mixed with all the different ethnic backgrounds that ended up in Jamaica for one reason or another. But Father Raphael seemed to have been purely from African descent, from the color of his skin and, of course, his features. So this, back to the article. The above is a picture of the very Reverend Father Raphael of the Order of the Cross of Golgotha, and decrees apostolic of the Greek Orthodox Catholic Church, Father Raphael, who is known in the world as Robert Morgan, is a Jamaican from Chapelton, Clarendon, and is now on a visit to his native land. He will remain in Jamaica for a few weeks, during which time he will preach and lecture in any church or place in which opportunity may afford him. For the reason that there is no church of his communion in this island. Wow, I didn't know that. Father Raphael has traveled extensively in Europe, Asia, Africa, and America. During his first and second visits to Russia, he was received and entertained at the great monasteries of the Russian Orthodox Church in Odessa, St. Petersburg, Moscow, and Kiev, K-I-E-F-F. He was also present at the anniversary service of the coronation of the present Tsar and at the Requiem High Mass said for the repose of the soul of the late Emperor, and at which time a special guest at the Kremlin Palace, his photograph appeared in the leading journals and magazines of Russia, Europe, and other countries. Wow, that's me saying wow, folks. Did you know that? Darn. Okay, back. I'm getting more and more excited here. During Father Raphael's visit to the Holy Land and Europe, he was a special guest of the Octominical Parish of the Apostolic See of Constantinople and of the Parish of Jerusalem. The print is sort of bad, so bear with me, or go to the article and you can read it. But some of it is faint because, of course, she copies it from the newspapers. But anyway, Alexandria in Egypt. He has visited the island of Cyprus, famous to us in the land in the New Testament and biblical history. In Cyprus, Father Raphael visited the ancient city of Salamis, where he saw the great ruins of that place. His purpose has been to study the customs and manners of the nations of the world and of the Holy Orthodox Catholic Churches in the Orient. He is the only Negro priest of the Greek Orthodox Catholic Church in all Western Christendom. His 30 years travels in the different continents and countries of the world have gained for him a worldwide experience, and he has been received and honored by many great and noble men and women, and is quite a favorite of the Greeks in Greece, Turkey, and the United States of America. He celebrates Mass in the Greek and English language. During his stay in Jamaica, clergy and other persons of whichever denomination desiring to secure his services may address him as the Very Reverend Father Raphael, OCG, Kingston, to be replied, will be made. Kingston, that is his residence they had, to which replies will be made. This is an article that appeared in the Gleaner, July 22nd, 1913. Now, because there is no date, this is my sidebar, because there is no date of when he was born, you know, the exact date, of his birth. We don't know how old he was after he had done all these fabulous things. But, I mean, being entertained and received in the Kremlin Palace, and this was a black Jamaican, you know. So, I mean, I am just flabbergasted, not only about him being entertained, but the fact that he had the wherewithal to leave Jamaica, go to Sierra Leone, to be educated and traveled all over the world, and then went back to Jamaica when he didn't even have a church that he, from his religion, there. Because I remember doing a history of the churches in Jamaica and when they sort of were formed and who started it and all of that. All of that we've done. And I didn't remember a Greek Orthodox Catholic church. So now that clears that up. And as usual, ladies and gentlemen, remember I say that I never have a chance to read all the material before I go online, because most times I'm researching to even get the material copied so I can have it. So I am discovering a lot of what you hear at the same time you're hearing it. And I see a raised hand. I'm taking a break now from one of the articles. I see a raised hand at 631-451, so I'm going to open up the mic. Just a minute. Bear with me here. Okay, let's see. Open up the mic, Margaret. Okay, here we go. Good evening. You got Margaret in the backyard. Who do I have?
Hi, Margaret. Good evening. This is Janine from Long Island.
Oh, hello there, faithful fan. How are you?
Fine, thanks. I am wondering if something is wrong with your board, if someone else is trying to get on and can't, because I've been trying from before you read the second paragraph of this person. So
uh-huh.
I don't know if something is wrong with your board, why it's not showing.
I'm reading from another computer on Dr. Lumsden's page. It's possible that I did not see because I'm using two computers tonight. I'm getting more techie, you see.
Yes, I was just wondering if somebody else was trying.
What I realize is that because of some of her material cannot be copied and printed so I can read it.
Right, right.
I tried that and it just won't come out on my printer. So you're coming up on one board on one computer, and I'm looking on the other computer as I read from, her article. So that's right. But I would like to ask anyone else on the board just to really test to see that I am picking you up or you're coming through. It's 954-618. We just hit one, and I'll open and close the mic. I would appreciate that. Or 973-373. Would you? All right. Well, Janine, I think that was the problem there. But back to to the article. Oh, yes, I see that 954-618 responded. So let me just open the mic here and say hello. This is Margaret in the backyard.
Hi,
would you
Margaret.
Like to tell us
this
who
is
you are?
Audrey. This is Audrey Bell from Florida.
Okay, Miss Audrey, welcome to Florida, to the backyard.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping me test the board. So it works.
Okay.
And I'm going to hang up the mic and sing here, but I'll open up in case you want to interact.
Okay.
But back to what I was saying now is I just find this information so exciting, especially when we see the period of time that we're talking about. You know, this was so long ago. Because in 1913, they were talking about him already had gone to these places and done that. As they say now, been there, done that. So let me read, go on. Ms. Janine, your mic is still open.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to go on and read the other articles that she has. Because, you know, as she mentioned in the first introduction, all she have on this man is these articles that she found in the newspapers.
Right.
And actually asking if there are any students of history or historical theology that might have come across something in one of the foreign papers, because the Jamaican papers at the time were saying that he had been written about in other newspapers abroad.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure there's perhaps some of that in existence someplace.
They felt, yes.
Just totally blowing me away. So let's go to the next article, which is a Jamaican Times report. So I suppose in those days you had the Jamaican Gleaner and you had the Jamaican Times.
Right.
And I think the first one I read from was the Jamaican Review or something. But this is August 23rd of 1913. And the headline there is A Priest of the Greek Church, Father Raphael's Address by Our Reporter. The very Reverend Father Raphael, Greek Orthodox priest of the Order of the Cross of Golgotha, and the first colored man to bear that distinction, gave on Wednesday night last week an interesting address on his travels in the Holy Land. He has been for 30 years a traveler. 2 years he spent in Palestine, learning the ways of the people and studying the facts connected with the life of our Lord. His address showed how much he had learned, and he led his hearers as he talked from one place to another as though they were actually there with him. He landed at Joppa on the sea coast of Syria, now known as Jaffa, J-A-F-F-A. There he saw the house of Simon the Tanner, and a monastery built on the spot where Tabitha was raised to life. On the journey to Jerusalem, he studied the manners of Eastern shepherds. They wear bright dresses of various hues so as to be known by their flock. In each flock, there is always a specially marked sheep that all the rest will follow. And that one leads the others along, be there ever so many sheep, without mistake. The use of camels and asses is due to the fact that the pathways are very rough. And as these animals are hardy, they are best suited for that locality. At Jerusalem, he went first to see the Holy Sepulchre. This is the church built over the entire garden in which Jesus Christ was buried. This large church includes, among others, the Chapel of Golgotha, the Chapel of Abraham, where tradition says the ram of Abraham's sacrifice was caught, the Chapel of the Armenians, the Chapel of the Abastanians, the Chapel of Adam's Skull, and the Chapel of the Holy Sepulchre. In the Mosque of Omar, in the same city, is suspended a stone which he explained and for which he found no support whatever. On the mount around Mount Zion, excavations have been made showing facts connected with the life of David. Nearby in the Via Dolorosa, or Way of Sorrow, along which Jesus traveled to Golgotha after he had been flogged, Gethsemane was described as a village crowded with olive trees, where a Roman Catholic church marks the spot where Jesus left his three disciples, while a convent of the same religion shows where he prayed. An underground church is built where the Virgin Mary was buried. The Church of St. Mary Magdalene is also in Gethsemane. In Bethany's monastery and church marked the place where Mary and Martha lived. On the road nearby is the tomb of Lazarus. Lazarus is stated because Bishop of Cyprus and was buried in Larnaca. This spot is marked by a church. According to tradition, hold on a minute, on Mount Olivet, Jesus' footprints are still to be seen on the spot from which he ascended into heaven.
Oh.
Jericho remains a ruined city with many palm trees. A sycamore tree there is supposed to be the one into which Zacchaeus climbed. From Jericho, the mountains of the temptations can be seen. He went on the Jordan and followed down to the deep sea. The water here is peculiar. It is very bitter and leaves a stain on the skin, which takes a few days to wear off. To prove the fact that the water could be used, his two guides bathe in it. However, no fish can live in it. Hold on, I missed my place. This is hard to read, folks, so bear with me. In the same valley are Sodom and Gomorrah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a church stands where Mary the Virgin was met by Gabriel at a well in Nazareth.
Mm-hmm.
And a Greek church shows where the synagogue was that Jesus preached. Capernaum. Capernaum is in ruins,
yes. Mm-hmm.
With huge square stones scattered around it in abundance. On the road thither are Bethesda and Nazareth, the country he described on the whole as being filthy. The land, he said, is overrun with dogs, according to Mahomian custom. And that is the end of that article. But isn't that interesting?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That was what a reporter, it says by our reporter. So apparently he went to the lecture or whatever it was, and that was his rendition of what he got from Father Raphael's speech.
Oh.
But not only did I find it intriguing, but also the fact that of how the writers wrote in those days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their style of writing is also quite intriguing to me.
Was it
so,
Old English?
In some cases. But it is really interesting how he described how, you know, when you listened to him, how he took you. You almost felt like you were in the place.
Yes.
Just very, very intriguing. Okay, so the next article I'm going to read for you is Lectures Around the Island. That is the caption on that. But before I do that, I'm going to just take a break to let the listeners that may come by later, because people do come by later and listen to the shows, that you're listening to Backyard Lavish on Blog Talk Radio, and we're here each Thursday at 8 o'clock where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. And my passion is to bring a voice to what these marvelous historians are doing to introduce us to people from the past that have been doing tremendous things for Jamaica and the world. So we have so much to celebrate and be proud of. And our people have always been pioneers and, you know, trailblazers. And I'm hoping that some of these stories will really encourage the young generation to take pride in themselves, to engage their passion, and know that if people from long ago could travel from the island, go all over the world, and pursue a path that could be so strong, you know, and engaging that nothing should stop them from doing positive things that they want to do in their lives, no matter what the circumstances. Because I always say, even traveling from Jamaica to the nearest point, which would then be even Cuba, in those old days must have been very challenging.
Mm-hmm. Ship.
Because, you know, people didn't have the luxuries of airplanes or
no.
even ships
no.
that moved fast
mm-hmm.
or had the comforts that people have now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's amazing what was happening out there with these trailblazers. You know, when you hear the story of the man who was got elected to a political office in Russia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And he was purely African, too.
Yes.
So we know that. I think that one of the things that the current Jamaicans can take is that despite what was going on in the world, these people did not make it stop them from doing their thing,
right.
to put it very simple. You know what I mean?
Yes.
This man of color was received in high places because he had something to offer. And
yes.
because he was a respectable person who respected the religion that he was affiliated
with.
Mm-hmm. And studied mm-hmm. and could articulate what he wanted people to know.
Exactly.
So he could take pride in it, you know. So he must have had the background. And my point is, I keep thinking how blessed I am to have been born in Jamaica at the time that I was.
Amen.
You know, I don't consider it a handicap in any way. I consider it a very big asset.
Yes.
Anyway, back to the... to the article here. Now, this one is July 25th of 1913. As she mentioned, most of the articles that she has found was just around that time, and they were from different sources. This is the Daily Gleaner. The Very Reverend Father Raphael, OCG, missionary, priest of the Greek Orthodox Church, was among the speakers at the missionary meeting held on Tuesday evening last at the St. Stephen's Mission. Don't say where St. Stephen's Mission is.
Mm-hmm.
Many were privileged to hear him on that occasion. And as he will be the preacher at the evening service on Sunday next, those who have not yet heard him can avail themselves of the opportunity. The service begins at 7 o'clock. Now, that is July 25th. Now, the next article she has here is the Daily Gleaner in August 9th of the same year, 1913. A special address will be given at the Bethlehem National Baptist Chapel, 109 Charles Street, on Wednesday the 13th, instant, at 7 p.m. by the Very Reverend Father Raphael of the Greek Orthodox Church. This is an excellent opportunity of hearing of the customs and manners of the nations of the world from one who has traveled the world over. A silver offering will be taken. He will also deliver an address at Barbican Church on Thursday night, the 14th instant. On Sunday, the 17th instant, the Very Reverend Father will deliver an address at 3 o'clock at the new missionary house at Grange Lane. The Reverend Morris L.L. Asbid, A-B-I-S-B-I-D,
mm-hmm.
will preside. Now, I'm calling all these names because I don't know if people might remember those people.
Right.
Reverend Morris L.L. Asbid, A-B-I-S-B-I-D. So apparently he was involved with this missionary house at Grange Lane. Okay, back to the article.
That's all right, Jamaica.
Uh-huh. This mm-hmm. is Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
The Reverend Abisdid will be thankful to all those societies and friends who have gifts in hand for the Mission House would take hold of the opportunity of bringing same. So apparently this is a missionary thing that was going on there. So here's another article on the 22nd of August. That was August 9th, same year. Father Raphael, under the auspices of the Church of England, England Men's Society, the very Reverend Father Raphael of the Greek Orthodox Catholic Church lectured to a large audience at the Conversorium on Wednesday night. Now, sidebar, I remember when we did the schools, somebody talked about the Conversorium, so this must be Kingston.
Yes.
Okay. The father gave a very entertaining and instructive account of his travels in the Holy Land, at the end of which a vote of thanks, moved by the Reverend Mr. Graham of Retreat St. Mary, seconded and carried, was accorded him. Whatever that means, I just believe it's some society thing where you have to second a vote of thanks, and then it is carried. So it sounds like that was some sort of lodge or some that kind of event. So we're just trying to put the pieces together here. Here's another article, the Reverend J. Wright. Oh, I'm sorry, this is part of that article. The Reverend R. J. Riley presided. Okay, now.
That name sounds familiar.
Pardon?
That name sounds familiar. Riley.
I'm sorry, it's Ripley, R-I-P-L-E-Y.
Oh, okay.
Reverend R.J. Ripley presided over that affair, which was, is there something? Okay. On the 18th, the very Reverend Father Raphael of the Greek Orthodox Catholic Church lectured on a very large, to a very large audience at Barbican on Thursday night. The Reverend E.G. Stewart presided. The father gave very instructive and entertaining information from his ample store of experience, and his very utterance was followed with eager attention. You see those grammars they're using? That's my sidebar, folks. Let me read it again. And his every utterance was followed with eager attention.
Mm-hmm.
He touched, that means everybody was listening intently,
mm-hmm.
I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
He touched on his travels through Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Bethany, around the Dead Sea, Cyprus, Rome, etc., and his remarks were gratefully received.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on November 1st, on the very Reverend, this is the Daily Gleaner of November 1st, 1913, page 2, column 7, the very Reverend Father Raphael will deliver a lecture at Oddfellows Hall. All these places I never heard of. We're getting some lessons here that's still leaving me in the dark.
Right.
Oddfellows Hall was at 73 King Street.
Well, that
tomorrow.
Was before our time, so.
Well, of course,
yeah,
but I mean, there's no history about those places.
Oddfellows
Hall. But I'm hoping that, you know, people listening to this will start engaging both me and Dr. Lumsden if they know or see or heard. You know, somebody's grandfather might have been a member of one of these lodges or churches or so on, spoke about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember, this is all sidebar, folks, I remember when I did on Jim Russell, I saw for the first time that there was a mention of the Raya Cobre home that I was familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it really, really inspired me. So if anybody knows about the Oddfellow Hall or Fellows, Oddfellows Hall on 73 King Street. Apparently it was there in the year 1913. Now, it says, tomorrow, let me start over with the article. The very Reverend Father Raphael will deliver a lecture at Oddfellows Hall, 73 King Street, tomorrow, the 2nd of November at 8 p.m., under the auspices of the Kingston Lodge number 2042, GUO of OF. The subject of the lecture will be his travels in the Holy Land. He will speak about Moscow, Alexandria, and a few other places of interest. The Honorable H.A.L. Simpson, Mayor of Kingston, will preside. A large attendance is anticipated. At the close of the lecture, a silver collection will be taken up. In other words, folks, this is sidebar. No copper in the you don't have to make things comical. But I think it's funny how they keep saying a silver collection will be collected. I think that was precious.
Oh, Lord, no half penny or any of those.
Right, no quaddy. So for those of people who may come along,
oh,
I keep telling you, this is elaborate. This is not CNN or NBC. And I am doing it this for the passion and fun of
Lord.
It. Hope that you'll all flow with me. When we get together in the backyard, we do things to entertain, enlighten, and preserve. Because I really, seriously now, I really think that I am being very inspired by the stories about these people, and it is helping to continue to fuel my passion for putting a voice to some of this information, which, thanks to Mr. Google, is online and available. Or Mrs. Google, or whoever that is. But anyway, let's go back to the article. And bless. I hope that Dr. Lumsden will always be blessed. This article was the Daily Gleaner of November 5th. This evening at 7 o'clock, Reverend Father Raphael will give a lecture in the Edmondson Hall to the members of the Coke Wesley Guild.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Father Raphael's address have everywhere attracted great interest, and the Guild anticipates a great treat to which their friends are cordially invited. A silver collection will be taken up, and the Reverend Mr. Turnbull, I know that name, the new president, will take the chair. So not only are we here learning about Father Raphael, but we're learning about all these different lodges all
mm-hmm.
over Kingston.
Oh, yeah, and there were
no
many.
No documentation anywhere else about these places.
Mm-hmm.
When they started, who started them up, what was their purpose? So here's my sidebar, folks. You know, we meaning seniors who grew up in Jamaica in the 30s and 40s and 50s, have no documentation about their lives, their parents, their grandparents. We need to make sure that we do that for the next generation of our lineage, our family. You know,
right.
Whether you have grandchildren, great-grandchildren, children, or just the grandchildren of the world, or of the diaspora, to really know what some of the things that took place during the time we were growing up. So that was just my little sidebar. I always like to put that in because, you know, I know as seniors sometimes we think, well, the young people don't have time, they don't want to listen. But believe you me, I didn't want to listen when my mother was, I thought I didn't have time when my mother wanted to tell me some stories. Oh, wow, you know, I don't have time for that. You know, tell me tomorrow or something. And, of course, I am at that stage now where my children are not all that interested in all these stories, but I know that someday they will. So that's my way of preserving some of this for them. So let me talk now about that caption was Lectures Around the Island. And as I tell you, I'm going now. Dr. Lumsden has prepared a whole site on this gentleman. So I'm going from link to link. And the next one is Home to Chapelton. And she has a beautiful picture of the Chapelton Church Tower, which I've put in the little video that you may be watching online. Home to Chapelton. And this was August 15th, 1913. And it said, Reverend Father Raphael talks. of his travels abroad. Interesting address. Spot where it is said Christ fell with his cross. This is all in the paper. From our correspondent, in parenthesis, Chapelton, August 13th. On Monday 11th instant, the very Reverend Father Raphael gave a very interesting lecture in St. Paul's Church. The Reverend R.V. MacPherson, who was in the choir, sang the hymn, Jesus, Lover of My Soul, after which he introduced the Reverend Father. Father Raphael began by reminding the people of this town that he was still Robert Morgan to them, and as such, he was glad to be once more among them. He told of his travels abroad, dealing primarily with the Holy Land. He illustrated geographically the place most associated with our Lord. He pointed out to his hearers that the scene from Mount Tabor, beggars his explanation, B-E-G-G-A-R-S, his explanation powers, explanatory powers. You know, I'm trying to read between the lines here. It's not very clear. And the only way to come to a conclusion as to why the disciples wanted to remain on the mount was on account of its beauty. He illustrated the modes of travel among the Jews, which brought forth laughter from his hearers. He said it was a pity, and he did not care who was offended, but he was shocked to see how men who could not even read a decent piece of English would take a verse from the Bible and build a church on it. Even when those versed in Latin and Greek, the original language of the Bible had trouble in translating the passages. Among the animals which he said he noticed in his travels was the donkey, millions of which abounded in the land. Also the sheep. He explained how shepherds were marked so that their sheep would not follow other shepherds who had not on the same dress or who did not give the same call, thereby showing the truth of Christ's words when he said, "My sheep know my voice." Another place, you see what he was driving to. This is a sidebar.
Right.
That he would see that it's because of the customs. That's why, you know, we know that the Bible, the words of the, and the style of the Bible was written for the times that it was. But anyway, that's not another story. But back to the article. Another place of interest which he visited was the spot where tradition says that Christ fell with his cross, and where Saint Veronica wiped his face, and in return received the imprint of the Master's face on the towel.
Mm-hmm.
He paid visit to Cyprus, where he said he saw four men as black as two black midnights put together. Ain't that something?
Mm-hmm.
That's me. That's not in the article. And as I say, I'm reading this for the first time.
Right.
He was really just talking from the heart.
Yes, so he was
telling them in Cyprus he saw two men. He saw men, not four men. Four men as black as two black midnights put together, which I meant he perhaps meant blacker than him.
Him, yes.
Ain't that something?
Mm-hmm.
Man. I mean, this is just so interesting. I'm getting a little frivolous here. Among the animals which he said he noticed in his travels was the donkey. That must be a reprint here. Okay. The lecture, which was very interesting from all points, was highly appreciated by his listeners. He expressed the wish to return to his center again before he leaves the island. The Reverend MacPherson then moved a vote of thanks to the Reverend Father and expressed the wishes that he may see his way to return and give another lecture. The meeting was then brought to a close. Ain't that something?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And
so that was home to Chapelton. So she, the next link she has says, for now, the last word. Did you want to say something, Miss Janine?
No, I'm just listening here with a lot of interest.
I mean, this is so intriguing
to
me.
Yes,
so
but, you know,
intriguing.
In those days, they used to use the donkeys a lot because when they used to travel, they used to walk, and they would put their stuff on the donkey itself.
You mean in Palestine, where you were talking about?
In olden days, yes. The donkey was used a lot.
And as he mentioned, they had to use that kind of transportation because of the terrain.
Yes. Yeah,
you know, because of the hoof and it being able to have traction on the soil and the stones and all of that.
Yeah, because...
It was the mode of transportation. You know?
In Jesus'
But I suppose
time.
He was talking in terms of the abundance.
Yeah.
Remember, he was born and raised on a little island where there were donkeys, but I'm sure he didn't see as many of them.
Many, because remember, even Jesus, before his crucifixion, when he rode in with the palm, it was on a donkey. So a donkey in those days were very important.
Right. Okay, let's go to, for now, the last word. On Dr. Lumsden's page, we have a few more minutes before we go over our... And now the last word. At the moment, the last reference I have to Father Raphael is a notice in the Gleaner of November 1st, 1913, that he would speak at the Claremont Methodist Church on November 26th. I have found no reference to that talk, to any further activities of Father Raphael, nor to his departure from the island. He remains a mysterious figure. Since I wrote this, I found the item at the top of this page. So let's see what the item is. What the item is. I have already started to make further inquiries about Father Raphael, and and when I find more information, I will add it to the site. And then she says on the side, I hope that someone may know something of his travels in Europe, perhaps from a chance reading of one of those old journals in Russia or somewhere. Also, there may be some record of his role in the Greek Orthodox Church in Philadelphia or elsewhere. Perhaps someone knows of his education in Sierra Leone, or the UK, or has seen a reference to him as a missionary in Liberia. So she goes on to say, I have recently located some later reference to Father Raphael's stay in Jamaica. Now, this is May 28th, 1914, which is the following year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Our Port Maria correspondent writes, the very Reverend Father Raphael paid a visit to this town and gave a lecture in the parish church on his travel in Palestine. The attendance was fair and the audience very attentive. The Reverend Father was very instructive and impressive in his lecture. Another lecture was delivered by Father Raphael at the Branch Labor Union, and was highly appreciated by the members and friends present. The subject of the lecture was unity, labor, and benevolence. At the close of the address, the Father was accorded a hearty vote of thanks. Now, on the 15th of July, 1914, a lecture given, and this is, again was from our correspondents, St. Anne's Bay, Friday. A fine lecture was given in the Anglican schoolroom of this town last night by the very Reverend Father Raphael, priest apostolic of the Orthodox Greek Church. The gathering was quite a representative of one, and at about 8 o'clock, the rector, Reverend C.H. Swaby, in a few well-chosen words, introduced the lecturer to the audience. The Reverend Father prefaced his lecture by informing his hearers how glad he was to be here once more. 13 years ago, he was in that very schoolroom lecturing, and since then, he had done a lot of traveling. A very educative and interesting lecture was then followed, and there was something in the Gleaner on November 2nd of 1914. Father Raphael, priest of the Greek Orthodox Church, who has been in the island for some time, sailed for America last week. It is understood that he will return shortly to his native land and start missionary work under his faith. As is well known, the seat of the Greek church to which Father Raphael belongs is not far from the theater of war. So there is no hope of the father returning to his mother church in a hurry. Father Raphael is a native of Clarendon. So apparently, whatever was happening in Greece, there must have, or London, where he was, there must have been war. At the time.
Mm-hmm.
That contains all I know at present about Robert Morgan, also known as Father Raphael. Oh, well, ladies and gentlemen, another first for Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
The first black Orthodox Catholic, Greek Orthodox Catholic bishop was a Jamaican. And with that said, with pride, I want to thank you for listening and hope you have enjoyed this discovery. And like me, enjoyed the writers of the old days and how they wrote. I find it so intriguing. And to hear all of those names and places, and, you know, I'm all sort of bubbly and excited because my mother was born 1912, and as a matter of fact, she would be 100 years old this year. And this man was, they were writing all about this, you know, the year after, 1 and 2 years after my mother was born. And I doubt my mother knew anything about him because, like me, when she was growing up, I'm sure that things like lectures that were being held over the island or even in Kingston, she grew up in Sablemar, but would not be of interest to her at that time. But I'm just tying all this together. And again, would tell my fellow seniors how important our lives are and our history is to the world. Because each of us, in our own way, through our work, through our children and our grandchildren, our offsprings, we are leaving something. We have helped in some way to expand the world, because with each new person, with each new idea, with the good that we do and what we pass on in whatever way we do it and whatever tools we use to do it with. It could be helping a friend, a child, a senior, our family, in our jobs, whatever. We are here on the planet, and we are making a difference. So with that said, I want to thank you all for your support, and I want to celebrate you all tonight. And if there's anyone on the board that would like to say something, please hit 1 on your keyboard. And if you're listening online or there's a number there you can call in. We have a couple of minutes. It's funny how an hour goes by so fast.
Yes.
You're absorbed, because I've been so absorbed I couldn't even believe that the hour is finished already, but we do have a little time. So
did they mention who paid for all that traveling?
No. All the information that she mentioned that she has is what she got from the newspaper. Nobody knew anything about him except what was on the newspaper. I don't know if he might have had any siblings that have, you know, descendants. I don't know.
Or the church. Sometimes the church would pay for it.
That's all, you know.
Yes.
But I just look at all the things the man was involved in. And not only that, he came back and he went to so many different churches and so many different events that he was, you know, entertained and received and was written about, that he was engaging. And the people then, you know, got something from what he was saying. And
it's possible that the church could help him with the traveling and also with his knowledge and ability of certain things.
Yes,
the churches abroad would.
It must have been abroad because there was no Greek Orthodox church in Jamaica.
Right.
But it even mentioned that he was very popular in Greece.
That means he spoke more than one language.
Yes, because I did find something else on Wikipedia, and that mentioned that he spoke broken Greek.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I suppose how we would try to speak the Spanish language or another language. It wouldn't be as smooth as a native. It's like, you know, somebody from another country trying to speak Patois.
Yes.
So it was a little different.
But
he did deliver his prayers and things in Greek.
Yeah.
So it's just
possible.
So interesting. And to know the time this was all done, because remember, in 1913, he'd already done that. He was born in 18-something.
Yes, but it proves that he was very smart. He had a lot of education because in that time.
Right. And,
really,
and the key, you just hit on it, you know, the key is education.
Education.
So my message to the younger folks, if you have a passion to do something, you know, education knowledge can never be erased.
Amen.
You know, when you learn something, you cannot unlearn it.
Exactly.
So always be in a learning mode.
And the next thing
and
we have to be proud of is the next thing we have to be proud of is the way in which they taught us in Jamaica. Because for him to have that type of education, he had to have good teachers, you know?
Yes.
So.
And not only, it's not just the education, but I think it's the, I don't want to call it attitude, but it's the fact that, you know, a lot of Jamaicans will express that they when we were growing up, at least, I did not feel like a second-class citizen. I didn't have the hang-ups about being a person of color. That didn't exist for me.
Yes.
And I think that it's I don't know for everybody, but for me, so when I came to this country, I did not feel inferior in any way.
Right.
I really didn't.
Right.
Well,
you know, Margaret, being a Jamaican, we didn't really have a color problem.
Well, that's
you know,
what I meant.
Have a color problem. We had more of a class problem, but not a color problem. So traveling here and coming here, it didn't faze us about color.
Right.
You know, it didn't really faze us about color.
That helped him to be who he was. During the time, you know, he was getting his education and traveling all over the world, he didn't feel inferior.
Yes, to him, he was a man of integrity and knowledge, and he had the experience, and he was ambitious, you know, and he was proud of himself, and he wasn't lacking anything that would set him back in going wherever he wanted to go.
Right.
So, you know, with that type of attitude, as far as he was concerned from listening to what you had to say, there was nothing to stop him, you know.
There might be some additional. I'll have to try and see that there's the Philadelphia might have the church. You remember they mentioned he was involved with the church in Philadelphia.
Yes.
Based on him. But that is would be for another show. So anyway, I want to thank everybody for being here. And thank you for your support, and I hope to come up with something else interesting for next week. In the meantime, if there's a subject you would like to be discussed, as long as it celebrates, enlightens, and preserves the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, I'd love to have your input. So you can go to
pastorlabbers.com.
We do have a website, and just send me a little note, and I'll be more than happy to engage you. And then we can talk about what's on your mind or what you would like us to bring forth. So if anyone else would like to interact, do just hit one on your keypad and let me know. And if I don't see a hand, I am going to say good night. Miss Janine, thanks for being here. Miss Audrey, you're still on. Thank you for calling in from beautiful Florida, and we wish you a wonderful week, everybody. And we know that we have the ability to make it
a great week. Amen.
Mm-hmm. So with that said, I hope to see you all next week. And as we say down here in the South, I hope to see y'all next week.
Yes.
So tune in, and we will be back.
Amen.
Good night.
Good night.
And thank you.
You're welcome. Bye. God
bless.